You know, God works in history. And people have tried, you know, he's got a timeline. And as we've been talking about here in the book of Daniel, as we've been going through it, that people try and guess that timeline, don't they? You know, we had some instruction about that locally here. It was on the local billboard. People aren't too good at guessing God's timeline. Even if they say the Bible guarantees it, that doesn't mean the Bible guarantees it because somebody says that. When the Bible guarantees it, it's guaranteed. But, you know, I like the fact that somebody else came up with a response to that billboard. I thought it was very appropriate. That was awkward. No one knows the time or the hour. You know, the fact is the Word of God has declared to us truth about the timeline. And some of that truth gives us great clarity and some of us gives us ambiguity, and God is that way on purpose. All right? It's not because God couldn't communicate it. We saw in Daniel that he communicated precisely when Messiah was going to come. And so we were there again last week there in Daniel 9:26, talking about the prophecy saying that the Messiah would come. And then what? The Messiah would be cut off. All right? And so right there we saw that gap as it spoke of the Messiah. And then when Messiah came, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, he spoke both of Daniel 9, and we saw that last week, and then he spoke of the future in a way that showed us that 70th week spoken of in Daniel 9 wasn't going to start right then, because he said this in Matthew 24:14. Would you read this out loud with me? This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. It's going to be preached to all the nations. It hadn't been. It was only in Israel at that moment. It's going to be preached to all the nations as a testimony, as a declaration that God loves, as that God is here, what God has done. And he says, and then what? And then the end will come. He says, then will come that 70th week. All right? So the neat thing is that God has a plan for you. God has a plan for me. And he says it's his plan was what? It's to share the gospel, that testimony would go forth. Now, he had stated that when? Before his crucifixion. All right? That's what we're talking about there in Matthew 24. That was before his crucifixion. Well, then Jesus Christ died upon that cross, bore our sins, as Chuck so appropriately explained to us this morning. And then he rose again from the dead. Okay? Now, we didn't understand all of that was a part of God's plan, did we? We didn't see quite all of that. And yet, now, that having happened, okay, how did that affect the prophecy? Did that change the timeline or the plan of God? Well, turn with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 1, because you can look and say, okay, here's what the Christ before crucifixion said. Here's what he said. If you want to follow along in your pew Bible, there's a little black books there in the pews. You just turn to page 832. You can follow right along with me. But Acts chapter 1, here is the resurrected Christ, and here's what he says about God's plan, and it's great, because once again, the apostles, they were full of questions. Aren't you glad they asked questions? I am so glad they asked questions. I want you to know, there are not any dumb questions. At times, there are questioners who have some lacks, but there's no dumb questions. Okay. But, you know, he says here in Acts 1:6, it says, so when they had come together, then they were asking him, Lord, is it at this time that you're restoring the kingdom to Israel? So they want to know, hey, what's the plan now? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. It's not for you to know the kairos, the chronos, or the kairos. Either one of these time aspects, the overall, the specific season, he says, it's not for you to get that particular date. The Father has set that by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, even to the remotest part of the earth. And after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received them out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them, and they also said, Men of Galilee, I love this part, why do you stand looking into the sky? Now this is just James reading in just a little bit, but I kind of wonder if they hadn't been looking for a while. You know what I'm talking about? You know, you ever had a balloon disappear up into the clouds? You just, I wonder if, is that really it? Can I see it? Or maybe staring, wondering, is Jesus going to come back? Is it just kind of an up and down thing? Right? They're just staring up there, and all of a sudden these angels are there beside them. And they said, what? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven, no doubt about where he went, okay, clearly revealed, will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven. So he says, it's not for you to know the times and the epochs, but here's what God's going to do. Friends, God's plan is for God's people to share God's good news by God's power. And so what we want to talk to you about today in this prophetic line is the revelation of God's purpose for you in God's timeline. And so that is a spirit-empowered witness that we're talking about here in Acts 1, 6 to 10. So God includes you and me. Isn't that amazing? That in this incredible line and plan of God, that God says, I have a purpose. I have a place for you. Now listen to me today. I've only got basically two things that I'm going to tell you. And not all of them are for both of you. Or all of you. Okay? It's one or two things that you're going to need to hear today. One is, if you're a believer, the message is, share the gospel. If you're not a believer, the message is, believe the gospel. Is that clear enough? Now it's going to take me just a little bit more than that to say that. But friends, but he says here, in verse 8, he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. So you will when he has, and you shall. He says these things are going to work together in such a way that what God wants to get done will get done. When you're walking in the Spirit, you will fulfill God's plan. And when you're not, you don't. Okay? And so here's this overarching principle I'm trying to give you today, is that the Spirit empowers the believer's witness of Jesus to the entire world. Now, we have a tendency to say it empowers us to witness, but the Bible says you are a witness. And so I want to talk to us about that because it's important for us to understand. He says, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Jesus says, you will receive power when. And if you remember in another spot over there in Luke 24, he says, you wait. I've given you an assignment, but you wait until the Holy Spirit has been poured upon you. And so, understand this. The Spirit of God provides the power to do all that God commands. Isn't that a good thought to know? That God will give you the power to do what God commands you. Wouldn't it be frustrating to have God tell you, you need to go do this, and you go to do it, and it is impossible to do? Well, here's some news for you. It actually is apart from the Spirit of God. That's why he says, wait in the city. God has designed the Christian life that you cannot live it out apart from the Spirit of God. Because then it would be the fleshy life. It wouldn't be Christ's life. But when Christ comes into us by the Spirit, then we can live out his life. Remember, he gave his life to you. How? By giving his life for you. That he might live his life through you. This isn't just that we try to imitate him. It's that we respond relationally to him and let him flow out through us. Okay? And so it's important when he says you shall receive power that you understand this. This is point one, is that only the Spirit can empower a believer's witness. All right, if you're following along in your notes there. Only the Spirit can empower a believer's witness. Until the Spirit begins to work in me, I don't have a witness. I don't have a testimony. Yeah, I've been on the witness stand before, and when you're there, what do they tell you to do? Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God? Yeah. And then somebody tried to make me a liar. You know, that's the attorney trying to get his client off. And what was I doing? I was telling the truth of what I had seen, what I knew, what I had experienced. If you are not walking with God, you have no experience to witness. Think about this. Sometimes it's a struggle for people to say, well, I don't do well at this. All right? He says, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you shall be my witness. So some people say, well, what do I have to do to receive the Holy Spirit? Do I need to wait? Is there some pursuit thing that I have to do to get this? Well, it's interesting. From this passage on, there is no command that way except be filled, walk in, receive, don't quench. Why? Because the Spirit comes to all believers on the moment we repent of our sins, of going our way, and we say, Lord, I'm going to go your way. And when I turn to Him, then God pours out His Holy Spirit. He births me into the Spirit. Remember, that's at John 3, where He's talking to Nicodemus, says, you must be born again. The new birth is the work of the Spirit. Okay? It's put this way in Romans 8, verse 9. Read this with me. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. Okay? So, it's foolishness to sometimes hear people say, well, yeah, you can be a Christian, but you haven't done this, so you don't have the Spirit of God yet. No, the Bible says that you don't become a believer unless the Spirit of God comes and does that renewing work in your life. And at that point, you have the Spirit. The question from then on is not whether or not you have the Spirit. It's how much of you let the Spirit have. Are you with me there? He is fully available. It's how much of you let the Spirit have. Because you are God's temple. He comes to live inside of you. And so the Spirit guarantees that you're going to be a witness. He says, not that you should. Now, so many times, I know even as a preacher, I've done this. Oh, you should, you get up here, you come to church, and you hear the preacher talking about, oh, you should, right? That's not what he says here. He says, you shall. Now, by saying you shall, he says, this is what will take place through your life. You are a witness. Now, when we think about witness, oftentimes we're thinking about what? Talking. Oh, I should have said something right then. Oh, I should have remembered to pray when I was in the restaurant. Or I should have. Yes, you should. Okay. However, that's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about is that the life that you're living witnesses, it communicates to those around you by both attitude, action, and words that Jesus Christ did indeed forgive you of all your sins, did indeed rise from the dead, did indeed come to live inside your life, and that you have the indwelling power of God in you. Is that an amazing thought? All right, some of you aren't amazed by that. That's okay. You got a problem. You're not amazed by that, okay? Listen. Witness is not just what you're saying. It's what you are. It's what you are. And when the Spirit of God comes to live in you, you change. You change. It's the Creator inside of you. Wouldn't you think if the eternal Creator of the universe lives inside your body, that your life would change? Listen, if you're not changing, check your spiritual pulse. I don't want to entertain you the thought, well, I went to church, so I'm a Christian. If you have not turned your life over to God and God is not in charge of your life, you need to evaluate, am I really in God? Because here's what he says in that same chapter of Romans 8. I'm going to take you guys to Romans a lot today. All right. Read it with me. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. He's going to do what? He's going to give life to your mortal body. That's this thing here, by the Spirit of God. He will make life happen in you. It is not about you somehow making this all happen. Have you ever found out that you can't do very good at some of these lists that God gives? You're not supposed to. You're supposed to be letting Him produce that. It's a choice of trust to respond to Him. And so your life then becomes a testimony. His work is in you, and you're going to testify of what He's done. You're on the witness stand of life. Think of it this way. We had those pictures up earlier. You are God's billboard. You ever thought about that? You're in a particular place in the community. Think about your home. Now think of right out in front, there's a billboard. Right in front of your house, there's a billboard. You have communicated stuff to your neighbors by the way you're living. When you go to work in your particular place of work, there's a billboard right there. You have communicated stuff by the way you're living life to the people around you. In every relationship you're in, there's this little, you know, mobile billboard going along with you, and there's a message coming across to the people around you by how you're living life. It's saying, this is what is true. Question. What does your billboard say? Now, I was thinking about this, and at times my mind just goes a little bit. I know you guys know that. So here's some of the billboards that could be there. I mean, we saw one guy. Here's his best shot. He spent millions of dollars across the world. What? Judgment Day. There's Christians walking around like that. Judgment Day is coming on you! Hallelujah. Thanks a lot. Appreciate the encouragement. Okay? But there's some others. I've seen some of these billboards. I don't know if you recognize any of them, but here it is. Grumpy as I have ever been. Is that the billboard of your life? Hey? You know, it ought to be saying rejoicing in life's challenges. Wouldn't that be a good billboard? But hey, but if you don't walk in the Spirit, what is it? Grumpy as I have ever been. Okay? What's another one? Worried sick about life. Is that the testimony you're giving to people by how you're handling it? Still angry after all these years. I am a victim. Friends, if you're in Christ, you are what? A victor. We have a victor. It doesn't mean horrible things haven't happened. It might be scarred, but saved and going home, right? But there's a testimony that is proclaimed by your life. What is it? How about this? Fully forgiven and loving it. And that would ought to be coming out of your life. You look, I mean, there's a lot of bad stuff going on. But when I look at what He's done for me, I've got a reason to be rejoicing always. So, and maybe for you, it's just, I am loved. Completely changed. Would that be a nice title? Completely changed. My values, my lifestyle, my destination. Think about it. What would you want your billboard to say? Interesting thing. It's your walk in the Spirit that chooses your response to life that determines what it says. We don't get to go out and write it. You get to what? Live it. And you declare it by how you live it. And so there's spots where the Bible says, when it comes to our walk with the Holy Spirit, He says what? He says, be filled. He says, walk in the Spirit. He says, do these things. But He says what? Don't grieve the Spirit of God, right? Don't quench the Spirit of God. Why? Because when you do, you're going to restrict the flow of God's life, of the proclamation of truth through you. Think of it this way. Got a little hose up here. All right? Turn on the faucet back here. No. But when you think of a hose, this one's short, okay? When you think of a hose, it's connected to a source, right? If you are connected to the life source of God, do you have what you need? Absolutely. You have everything you need. Okay, but then in your life, your responses to God determine how much flows out. Isn't that right? When you say no to God in any particular situation to life, when you say, I will not give thanks, when you say, I will not obey, I will not tithe, I will not go to church, I will not read my Bible, you're slowing down what God has said. Any command he said is what opens up the hose, right? And that response to him, not to the rule, but to him, allows the Spirit to flow out from you. Are you grieving? Or are you releasing the Spirit of God in your life? Friends, that's the witness. It is the work of the Spirit in you, in your workplace, with your children, with your neighbors, with your relatives. Why are you guys laughing about that? That allows people to go, oh, that's not them. That's God. See, that's what I want people to see. Be able to know that was God. And so eyewitness of Jesus with my life based on my walk with Jesus. Here's a thought. Now think about this. This may not be pleasant, but I want you to think about it for just a second. So many times I have people tell me, I just can't talk about it. Why not? If I'm absolutely loved, totally forgiven, completely empowered, why can't I speak of him? And what I want to ask you is there something that's kinked? Because if he's inside, it ought to show up. I can't explain that. And if he's inside, it ought to show up. And if it's not showing up in some way, it ought to be there. I was talking with one of our sisters this morning. She came in, and this person always reflects joy in their life. I just love it. I told them their vessel is just opened up, and they catch the love of God. They pour it out on other people, and it encourages me every time I see them. Other people, it's just their faithfulness. You just see it. You just go, faithful, faithful, faithful. And you go, oh, that's Jesus in them. And it encourages you, doesn't it? And you look around this family and you see people saying, I will do what I can do with what God has given me. And it shows you who? It shows you God. That's the witness. And when people come into this house, okay, you're God's house. This house belongs to him, but you're actually God's house. This is not the temple. This is an auditorium for the living God to have fun in, all right? But you're his house. When people come into this house, they ought to so experience the life of the Spirit of God in you that they couldn't walk out of here, whether they ever listened to me or not, that they couldn't walk out of here and not go, whoa, God's alive. God's there. They could feel it in the acceptance, in the love, in the grace. And you know what I want to tell you? That's what I'm hearing about this place. That people are talking that way. That's what they experienced when they came to this house. I want to encourage you to abound still more. I want to encourage you, take that time to pray before you ever get here, because people are coming looking for Jesus, and you are a reflection of whether or not he's available or not. So then what does he say next? We're still here in Acts 1. He says, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. We've got that. And then he says what? He talks about location, both in Jerusalem, that's where they were, and all Judea, that's the state surrounding Jerusalem, or the county actually would be more fitting to our understanding, and Samaria, that's Wolf Creek Cave Junction. Okay. You know what Samaria is? It's some area where you don't want to go. Okay, That's what Samaria was to them. It was where people hung out that didn't want to hang out with the religious people in Jerusalem. Okay, so that's what Samaria was. Okay, and even to the remotest part of the earth. Now understand, when Jesus told 11 disciples this, they were living in a country 60 miles wide by 120 miles long. And if they've done anywhere, they'd crossed over into Lebanon, perhaps into Jordan, maybe into Egypt. And the rest of the world was completely foreign to them. And he says, I'm giving you an assignment. Take it around the globe to every person, to every tongue, to every tribe. How are you going to do that? Only by the Spirit of God. You can't do that apart from the Spirit of God. And so empowered, here's principle number two. Empowered believers will witness of Jesus to the entire world. The whole thing. We will not say, that's enough. We've reached Selma. Forget about Cave Junction. You don't got the right to say that. You can't say, well, we reached all the way to Merlin. We don't need to go to Wolf Creek or to Sunny Valley. You can't say that because the love of God inside of you wants to reach those people. Remember, that's back to the witness. Why do we witness? Because he loves us, and that love poured into you overflows into the people around you. Look how it's put in Romans 5, verse 5. Read it with me. And hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. If you receive the Holy Spirit, what's he say? You have also received the love of God. Whoa, wait. That's just this little word. Okay, this is not a word he's talking about. He's talking about the reality. He says, you have received the love of God into you. How could you keep that to yourself? How could you not want to say, this is what he's done for me? Can I just please tell you what he's done for me? See, that's why these people don't believe in you. You're over there going, you're doing it wrong. And you're like, whoo, that's no love of God that I know about. But when your life is so lived that people see that and they go, what is it about you? Now, by the way, they don't always ask it in a complimentary way. Okay? You know, I've had it asked, you know, what makes you so different, James? You know? I even had a girl that I was dating all the way back in high school go to my sister and say, why is your brother like that? And my sister led her to Christ. Yeah. But people ought to be able to know what is it that makes you tick different than the values of this world? They see you live in a completely different way. Friends, his love overflowing in us produces compassion for the lost. Let me ask you another thing, or let me just point out another thing. If there's no compassion for the lost, I got to ask you a question. Do you know Christ? Because Christ has compassion. Christ came from heaven. Christ gave it all up so that I would know. And if that is not inside of me, if there's not some of that resonating out for me, that I really don't know Christ. Not the way he wants me to. I may know of him, but when you know him, it will change you. So think about this. It's a compassion, I believe, that will act deliberately. It will pray. Man, I am thankful for people who come join on Sunday morning and say, we will pray for God to work in this house. I'm seeing answers to prayer this morning. It's so cool. And it will plan. It'll say, okay, how are we going to get this done? It will live. It will give sacrificially of what it has because it recognizes what? Everything I have, I received. I'm just giving back to God what God's already given to me. All right. It will speak and it will go. It will cross the street. It will talk to that awkward person. It will go to that angry person. Weren't you the angry person for a while? Some of you were. Isn't that true? Yeah. All right. Somebody came to you in your anger and they didn't wait till you got it together. Aren't you glad? Listen, friends, that's why we do Vacation Bible School. Because in our Jerusalem, we want to say, hey, the gospel needs to go out. These kids are not going to get it from their parents. We will go to them. We will go to every neighborhood. That's why we're involved in CEF, because we want to see every child receive a presentation of the gospel before they ever make it to junior high. We want them to hear about Christ. We're committed to that. See, that's why we're sending the lobbers back to Africa. They've been over there decades. Why? Because there's people in Ghana who still don't have the Bible in their language and they're going back to translate that. So we will give sacrificially so that they can go. Why do we got Mike still trekking through the jungles of Papua New Guinea. I don't know how he does that, by the way, because my body doesn't trek near as what it used to, and Mike's older than me. Sorry, Mike, that's the truth. And he's still got more hair than me, too. I don't know what the deal is with that. But that's why Jared, in the next few weeks, is going to be leasing property in a town that has no doctor, has no power, has no roads leading to it. Why would you go build a house there? Because there's a tribe called the Ogta that has never heard the gospel. And we believe God loves them. So we got to go. We have to. We can't not. And so when situations come up, when opportunities are there, we must say, I will do what I can do. That's not all of you going to be translators. Hallelujah. Right? You're thinking, hey, that's not my gift. But you do what you can do. The elders have authorized Susie and I. We are going. January 2012, this next year, we've been invited to come to teach at New Tribes Conference for the country. And to encourage the missionaries. That's my gift. I can do that. And so we're going to go. And we're praying about taking another team. We need about 10 more people to go with us to help kids. But we're also looking at this huge investment with Jared and Banna. What's it going to take to buy and build this house with solar systems so that they can have some electricity in the house to run the computer and do these other things? Those are things you can do something to make the gospel go outside Jerusalem. And that's what Jerome Perry's about. Does that make sense? That's your place. That's where we're going. And so you can pray, you can give, you can go. Friends, what's going to happen? Listen, the gospel's going to go forth. But someday, this same Jesus who's been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same manner. My Savior is coming back. I'm so glad He came the first time, but the second time is going to be greater. It's going to be more amazing. He's coming on a white horse, friends. There's going to be a declaration of His authority across this world. Friends, serve the King. Serve the King. How do we do that? He's coming. You got to keep believing that. Sometimes we doubt that. You know, 2 Peter 3 talked about that. The people who would doubt that the Lord was going to come back. The Lord's not slow. You know what it says? Read it with me. Do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is like one day. The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Read that last phrase again. Not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. That's His will. And if you're full of Him, that's going to fill up your life. That's going to be more important than the house. That's going to be more important than the stuff. You know, we want to renovate this building. I'm here to tell you. You know, if you love others as much as you love themselves, the same amount ought to go overseas that we spend on ourselves. That's what I want. I haven't even told the elders that. That's what I want to see happen. Yeah, I'm not fond of orange. Okay, you guys wouldn't decorate your houses like this anymore. I think it's honoring to make a change here, but it's even more important that this message goes out. So let's strengthen this place to do what we can do. But friends, it is this, hear this, it is your relationship with the Spirit that defines your witness to the world. It's a relationship thing. It's not, I've got all these facts down. No, it's am I walking? Haven't you seen brand new believers? You've had this happen, haven't you? Seen a brand new believer, they know nada, right? And they are so bold talking for Jesus. They're just out there speaking about what they know, which is nothing, okay? Except that Jesus loves them and that He forgave them. And you say, I really can't talk about Jesus. I've only sat in church for about 30 years.
I only listened to about a bazillion sermons. I don't know anything.
Maybe you don't. Sitting in church doesn't make you know anything. It's walking with the Spirit that's going to bring a change in your life. And if He's there, He will change you. Let Him change you. Friends, God wants to walk in close relationship. Don't kink the hose. Paint the billboard bright. Let the world know God loves you. Are you? The fruit of the Spirit's a testimony. If He's in charge, love, joy, peace, that's the message. Is your billboard say, patient? I heard some people say that wasn't on their billboard. But that's what, if the Spirit's in charge, that's what it is. It's patient. It's kindness, goodness. Friends, don't kid yourself. This is real. Listen. If you've never come to Christ, I'm here to tell you, He loves you more than you could possibly imagine. You may not understand what you're going through, but He knows. And He died for everything you've ever done that you might know Him. Turn your life over. Turn your life over. It's a simple thing. It's a big thing, but it's a simple thing. Lord, I'm a sinner, desperately in need of a Savior. Save me. You mean that? He's going to grab you quick. And you'll be put into His family, and then He begins to fill. And if you've done that, maybe you need to come back to Him and say, you know what, God? I need you to save me all over again. I'm not talking about theology. I'm talking about the experience. Would you get me out of myself and into You and fill me up so somebody else will go to heaven because I lived on the planet with You? That's what I want. I don't want to go to heaven with a couple of people. I'm sorry. I am greedy. We need to go with more. Hey, next week we're going to talk about what happened when the Holy Spirit came. You know, next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. When the Spirit came, as Jesus promised, what happened to those people? Because they're an example and an instruction for us. So, Lord willing, You come back. Father, I thank You that You are alive in me by Your Spirit. And, Lord, some Sundays it's not this full. And that just grieves me to think about that. Lord, there's a fullness available to us to walk in, and I just pray You make us hungry for that. That we would be done with the petty, selfish, angry, bitter life. And we receive the forgiveness and the joy and the peace, and the kindness that You give us, that we might be faithful and generous and bold beyond compassion. So, Lord, for the one here who's never turned, I pray today that You turn them. And the one who needs to turn back again, I pray You'd grab them. And You'd encourage them. And You'd fill us up that there might be a light exploding from this place that cannot be comprehended for the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen.